Come and see, come and see, come and see the King of Love. See the purple robe and crown of thorns he wears. Soldiers mock, rulers sneer, as he lifts the cruel cross. Lone and friendless now, he climbs towards the hill. We worship at your feet, where wrath and mercy meet, and the guilty world is washed by love's pure stream. For us he was made sin, oh help me take it in. Deep wounds of love cry out, Father forgive.
I worship.
Lamb who was slain, wounded for me.
Come and See by Graham Kendrick kickstarts the fifth part of this week's Finding Tracks. Why have you chosen this song from Graham?
Well, this is a wee bit of a nod to you. Because one of the songs that came out of Brighton's, that I learned in Brighton's, loved in Brighton's, Brighton's is a church where I first ministered back from 1996 for 9 years, was played and sung by a friend of yours in the congregation, and he used to lead us in it, a guy called Eric. And Eric used to do a great job singing and playing guitar with that. And it just speaks so wonderfully of the gospel. And it's that invitation to come and see where wrath and mercy meet. And it takes us to the heart of the gospel, which is Jesus, and especially the cross of Calvary. And it's got a very special part in my life because it's a gospel hymn. It's got a special part because it's also a nod to Graham Kendrick, who's been such an influential singer-songwriter in the English, British Christian world, but also because it's in my heart because of that moment in my life in Brighton's, which I look back with huge fondness to. And it was one of the songs I took out of Brighton's and I've kept with me into every ministry that I've gone, whether the Bahamas or whether here in Maxwell Mearns.
Amazing. So what have some of the biggest challenges been since you've come back from the Bahamas and working in the 9 years where you've been?
Well, from a Scottish point of view, Scotland changed when I was away. Mm. And the Scotland that I came back to was a Scotland, I think, even in the 6 years I was away, that had shifted radically. And so the context in which anybody, I think, does church and Christian things in Scotland now, I think is a much more challenging environment than it was before I went away. And certainly, even after I came back, it's moved again in the last 9 years or so. So I don't need to tell any Christian person who's watching this that, because they know that. And so ministering in that environment is not, that's a challenge. Because the worldview is certainly, if not non-Christian, it's in some ways actually even anti-Christian. And therefore, there are barriers that have to be overcome before you almost get to start. So that's been a challenge, obviously. And that's a challenge common to any church community and any minister, I'm sure. I think in our context, though, perhaps the bigger challenge that is true of some places is that all these nice things about this area can become challenges from the gospel, because many of the folks who live here are very independent, self-made, and quite comfortable, lots of security, allegedly. And so the challenges, I suppose, for the gospel is to minister into a community that we're okay, thanks.
Yeah. No?
And therefore, in every place, whether it's in Brighton's, where you and I were first introduced, or whether it's in the Bahamas, humanity is humanity. It comes sometimes in different shapes, sizes, cultures, and so on. But at the end of the day, if the Holy Spirit does not open up hearts to turn to Jesus, then it doesn't really matter what the challenge is that I meet. There'll be an unfruitfulness. The fruitfulness comes even in a place that's challenging when God begins to be at work and really open up the lives of people in that community. And so I suppose our challenge is to try and see, how do we bridge into the community? How do we go across and try and take people by the hand and say, look, let me tell you about this incredible Savior, Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
And some of this, of course, was true in Brighton's, where you were brought up, because Brighton's was quite a nice area. Some of the same idols, thinking that they're worshipping careers, wealth, education, their children's great media advances, these idols are everywhere. But there's the Holy Spirit who needs to be at work. And the challenge is to say, Lord, where are you at work here? How can I follow what you're doing? How can I best be faithful to what you're doing in a community?
Sure. So would you say, obviously, lockdown has been imposed on us, been really tricky. Do you think lockdown has helped the church with that, or has it maybe hindered it?
Probably both. But I mean, ultimately, I am absolutely passionate about the sovereignty of God. And I have an absolutely sound belief that God is sovereign. And even though we sometimes think things are falling apart, that actually all we're doing is learning something of what God is already planning to do and will do. And so our job is to keep being faithful in what we do. And that for this period is in lockdown. And so although it means our churches are closed, our fellowships in some ways are separated, we have been discovering, as many congregations have, a new passion to be coming together again. I think we're more excited about coming together again physically than perhaps we had become too complacent and indifferent about the value of being alongside one another. And so there's that, which is good. But also, I'm a wee parish minister in a wee place in the south side of Glasgow. But if anything that the counter at the bottom of a Facebook page means of any realities, then our services and what we're doing, our worship, is going to an audience, a congregation that would be bigger than what we would normally have on a Sunday morning. Amazing. I don't quite understand what these numbers mean, and I mean that genuinely, because they don't seem to make sense to me. Mm. But if they're of any significance at all, then there's definitely going to bigger numbers, which I guess is a good thing.
Yeah, of course. So I suppose finally, how can we pray for you and your community, Scott?
If you have other pastors or ministers on this show, I guess some of what I'm about to say will be the same. But I think from the oldest to the youngest, we would love to see, people will talk about revival. I'd just love to see a real work of the grace of God and His Spirit blowing through our community. We have a community that is somewhat isolated from one another. We don't really have a heart. When we were in Brighton, so it was a wee bit more of a kind of village kind of mentality. That's not the same here in the south side of Glasgow. I'd love to see a sense of community being brought to the larger community, but especially the church community. Love to see the Holy Spirit work and open up lives to the Lord Jesus. Pray about that. One of the things, we have very good schools here, very good schools, probably some of the best, literally, in fact, by the measurements, literally some of the best schools in Scotland. But the young folks have a hard time because the culture that we've spoken about is so without hope, without Christ, without God, without foundations, without rootedness, that the young people, I think, have got huge challenges, and I see it in some of the more desperate things that I come alongside as a school chaplain. And some of the sadder things that I meet as a school chaplain. And so while I say I would love to see the Lord at work through His Spirit in our community, I would especially love that amongst our younger folks.
Yeah.
We have a youth worker here who's doing a fantastic job, and we have a family worker who's doing a great job. And so we are trying to, in a sense, focus ministry into the younger end of our generational spectrum. But we really do need a work of God in their lives to bring some of the peace that if I can just kind of go full circle here, Matt, I had a heart that, it wasn't an angry heart when I was a young man, but it was certainly a heart that was not restful, not at peace. I was always kind of like, going. And if I was playing, there was never a game of football, I think, where I wasn't booked. Wow. And I was always booked for the same thing, which was violent conduct. And then when the Lord Jesus introduced me to Himself, gone.
Wow.
And literally, many vices did not go like that. But in terms of that restlessness and that lack of peace and that aggression, it went overnight. And in fact, actually, I almost could chart it. I almost reckon that I never had a really kind of like disturbed, aggressive feeling until I had my children, and then it came back. But that's another matter.
Fantastic. And the final choice this week is Lord for the Years. Why have you chosen this to round us off?
Takes me right back to basically what I was saying about Crusaders, it's not a Crusader hymn as such, but it's a hymn that was sung around Crusaders. It's by Timothy Dudley Smith. Lord, for the years your love's kept and guided, urged us, inspired us, cheered us on the way, sought us, saved us, pardoned, provided. Lords of the years, we bring our thanks today. It just, for me, it's almost like a kind of anthem to my life. His word fires us, speaks to our hearts, sets our souls ablaze, teaches, trains, rebukes, inspires, receives. It's probably in a melody now that is less popular because it's kind of hymn-like and it's quite structured. I love it. And it speaks right from my start of my Christian life right up to now. And it's a great hymn of praise. Speaks also to the Commonwealth, speaks outside the church. You know, these words, Lord, for our generation, this is an anthem for today, for our generation, spirits oppressed by pleasure, wealth, and care, for young and old, for Commonwealth and nation, Lord, for our land, be pleased to hear our prayer. Mm-hmm.